So this morning, I want to speak to you about, if you wanted to give a title to the message I'm speaking about the compassion of Christ. It's the compassion that Jesus Christ shows towards us, which I think is an applicable topic for us this morning, also in light of the words that came out in the prayer meeting and in the words that came out in worship. I think it's really that God has, something that God has on his heart for us as we gather. And so, one of the big lessons that I learned during my student years, and this might sound strange now, is to share when I'm going through a difficult time. I found it extremely, extremely difficult to speak to people when it's not going well with me. And I'm not sure what it is, whether it's maybe like the manly side of someone that you don't want to show your weakness. I'm not weak. I don't want to show you when I'm going through a difficult time because you're going to think less of me, or you're not going to want me to be a leader. Or you're gonna shrug me off as saying that's not important. And so it was a very difficult thing for me. And when I spent time with guys especially, I found that with men, it feels to me like men in general, or it felt like in that time, men in general struggled a bit more to share the emotions. And I think some of the guys can relate. I remember finding it sometimes easier to have friends who were girls because I felt like they could actually speak about their emotions. They could actually open up and not just speak about rugby the whole time. But then I married Carla. And I found out that women also sometimes struggle to share their emotions. It's not just men. And so when we have fights, and we fight now and then, maybe in the last year once, maybe twice, you know. We've had a fight or two. Sometimes it feels like I'm more the one that wants to sort it out and speak about it, and she shuts down and she doesn't want to speak about it. And so for the married people, you know the frustration when you say something like, but what is wrong? And they say, I don't know, just leave me alone. It's not a nice feeling. You can't work through it if actually someone doesn't share what's going on and bring the deep things of their hearts and bring the struggles and bring the difficulties and places it on the table and actually shares it. And so I found that it's not only men, it's not only women, but I think it's humanity many times. And the pride in us that stops us from actually just sharing the difficulties, sharing the load that we carry and bringing it before people. And I want to ask you this morning, how is that part of you when it comes to God? Is it easy for you or is it difficult for you to bring your struggles, bring your difficulties, bring your insecurities and the emotionally difficult things that you're going through? How is that for you to bring that before God? Because I can attest from my own life, I'm over here, no, not there. I know it's dark in here, but I'm over here. If you're looking for me, the hand waving in the air. But I can attest out of my own life that it's difficult with people. And sometimes I find it even more difficult with God, especially as I started growing in God and realized, listen, God is not just a slot machine. I don't just ask him when I want something and go on, but he's a person that I have relationship with, a God that I have relationship with. And so many times in my life, I found it really difficult actually to bring my struggles and insecurities before God. And I'm sure that if I asked you this morning, if that's the same with you, and you had to give an honest answer, I think you'd say, yes, many times it's difficult for me to bring my struggles and my difficulties before God. And I don't think it's a clear-cut thing to know exactly why that is, but I think for me, one of the biggest reasons is I feel like God and I are on different planes. It feels like I'm just a human and God is just, you know, God. And I've got these human struggles and it's like I think, well, God, I know you sort of will understand, but you actually won't understand. And so I push myself away from God when I go through difficult times because it feels like it's easier for me to speak to a friend once I learned to actually do that, or to speak to someone in the church maybe, but to speak to God sometimes is very difficult for me. And I know that for many of you, it's also difficult to really bring those things before God as you process it. But just in studying the scriptures this week and looking at the compassion of Christ, you know what? I found something amazing in scripture, and I shared it with a few guys yesterday. And I've never understood fully why this is such an important concept in Scripture. And I know that in church history, they've struggled with it and they've wrestled with it. But only in now delving deeper, I understood, that's why it's an important thing. And the important thing is the humanity of Christ. The fact that Jesus Christ was 100% God and 100% human. He is 100% God, but for a time, he was 100% human also. And it's this strange thing where two worlds collided in the man, Jesus Christ. And he wasn't 50% God, 50% human being. He was 100% and 100%. And we've never seen that and we'll never see that ever again. But when we come to a point where we move more fully, understand that Jesus Christ was 100% human, as well as 100% God, but 100% human, it will be much easier for us to know that he relates with our weaknesses. He knows what we're feeling. He knows the difficulty. He was also tempted. And it's easier to bring it before a God who actually understands. He's not just a God like an Allah that's sitting in heaven, that is way above and doesn't understand the difficulties and the struggles that we go through. When we understand that Jesus Christ was 100% human as well, we can bring our difficulties, we can bring our struggles, we can process it with God and find victory in God. So I want to quickly read you a quote from a guy called David Mathis. He said, "Have evangelicals, you are an evangelical, if you're wondering, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, which is what we are, you're an evangelical." He says, "Have evangelicals today lost our wonder at the true and full humanity of Christ? In fighting for his deity, meaning in fighting for the fact that he was 100% God, as we should, have we overlooked how human, how shockingly human God himself became in Jesus of Nazareth?" How shockingly human Jesus actually became. And I want to delve into that a bit deeper because you see, in church history, this is how it worked. The original disciples knew Jesus as fully human. That's how they got to know him. And gradually, as they walked with him and they got to know him better, they realized, but wait, this is not just a human being. This is God incarnate. It's God in the flesh. And they started worshiping him and they understood and they actually laid their life down because they understood him to be God and not just human. Fast forward a few years and you get to the early church and the early Christians, and many of them said, okay, Jesus is 100% God, but he can't be 100% human. He couldn't have been 100% human. And so the fight shifted to the other end. And there was a fight within early Christendom to explain and understand that Jesus was also fully God and not just fully human. In the days we're living in at the moment, I think the fight is again on explaining that that Jesus was fully God as well as fully human. So as an example, I went to Paul Roos Gymnasium, a couple who won the interschools yesterday, for those of you who watched. Some ex-Paul Roosers here, except Ginter, yes. The only one. Congratulations, man. Well done. Not that you had anything to do with it, but well done. Enjoy it. And we sat in a classroom setup, and we were said, we can go into the school, we can speak about Jesus, but we had to do it subtly, just because of rules and so on in the school. And so what I did was, when I sat with the class, I asked them, okay, everyone, just close your eyes quickly. It was a bunch of, I think, grade 8 or 9 boys. I said, please close your eyes. They closed their eyes. And I wanted to just test the waters to find out, can I speak about Jesus here or can't I? And I said, okay, close your eyes. If you believe in God, raise your hand. And they all raised their hands. I said, okay, you can put it down. If you believe that you are a Christian, you call yourself a Christian, raise your hand. And all of them raised their hands without flinching, just raised their hands. I said, okay, you can put it down again. Who of you believe in Jesus? You can raise your hand. Hands up. Okay, you can put your hands down. Who of you believe that Jesus is God? Not so sure. About half of the class put up their hands and half of the class was not sure. And you see, in the day and age where we live in, when you speak to people, they'd say Jesus was a good man. He was maybe a prophet. He was a great guy, but he was not God. And so a lot of our fight today is in explaining to people, no, he wasn't just a good man, because a good man would not call himself God. He was God. And so we fight for that. And in fighting for that, we so often actually lose the fact that there's an important aspect to it too that David Mathers mentioned. In all of our fighting there, we forget that Jesus was also 100% human because of our big fight to explain his godliness and him being God. So let's quickly look at scripture to see, and this will all make sense in a moment, why I'm delving deeper, because I want to give context to a scripture that I want to work through this morning. Let's look at how shockingly human Jesus was, because he was really human. Jesus was born physically. He was fully human. He was born physically. Luke 2 verse 7. Jesus grew, meaning he was a baby, and he grew up. Luke 2:40 and 2:52. Jesus grew tired. He wanted to sleep. He actually took naps. So naps are very godly. I'm going to be more like Jesus, take a nap every now and then. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. John 4 verse 6. Jesus got thirsty for physical water, not just spiritual water. For physical water, he got thirsty. John 19:28. Jesus got hungry. He wanted to eat, and he ate. Matthew 4, verse 2. Jesus became physically weak and tired. Matthew 4:11. Jesus died physically as human beings die. Luke 23, verse 46. And Jesus had a real human body. After his resurrection, when he was resurrected, he was not like a ghost floating around. He was a real human being. Thomas actually touched him and felt him as he was with him. Luke 24:39. Jesus was also fully human on an emotional level. It gets more difficult to see how human Jesus really was. John 11:33-35 says that Jesus became greatly troubled. His emotions were troubled. Maybe we call it today, he might have had the temptation to feel a bit depressed. He became troubled. Jesus marvels at someone's faith, meaning, wow, look at that faith, Matthew 8, verse 10. And Jesus even cries. That's how human he was. He cried. In Hebrews 5, verse 7 says, Jesus cried loudly. So it wasn't just a tear rolling down like some of the paintings that you would have seen. He cried loudly. And it gets more difficult. Jesus was also fully human on a mental level when he was with us. Now remember, Jesus is fully God, but this is the full humanity side of Jesus. The Bible says in Luke 2, verse 52, it says, Jesus grew in wisdom. So he became more wise. He wasn't just born fully wise and fully knowing. Jesus also had, and here's a shocker, this is a difficult one, limited knowledge. So in his mind, he was fully human. Let me read Mark 13:32 to you. Concerning that day or that hour, meaning when Jesus will come again, the second coming, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father knows. So Jesus has limited knowledge. He knows everything, and at the same time, when he was on earth, he had limited knowledge. And yet it gets more interesting. Jesus was fully human in his will, in like what he wanted to do. He had a human will that was sometimes even opposed to the will of God. I know this is a difficult pill to swallow for some. John 6, verse 38. I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus had his own will. And Jesus prays again in Matthew 26, verse 39. He says, not as I will, but as you will, Father, let your will be done. And so John Calvin, an early church father, he said, Christ has put on all our feelings along with our flesh. Meaning, when Jesus walked the earth, when he was on the earth, he put on our feelings. He put on our flesh. He put on our difficulties. He knows what it feels like when you go through a difficult time. He knows what temptation feels like. So let me read another scripture to you. It's a beautiful scripture. It's one to actually memorize. Hebrews 4, verse 15 and 16 says the following. It says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect I'm going to say that again. In every respect, has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then continue with confidence, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Let me read that part to you again. He is able to sympathize with our weaknesses because he was in every respect tempted as we are. The only difference is without sin. He conquered it, but he was tempted. So listen to me. This is important. Does Jesus know what it feels like when you're angry? Yes, he was tempted with anger. Does he know what it feels like when lust comes knocking at your door? And pornography, they didn't have it like we had at that time. When it comes knocking at your door, Jesus knows what lust feels like, but he knows what it is to conquer it. Does Jesus know what jealousy feels like? Yes, he does, but he conquered it. Does Jesus know what greed feels like when you've become greedy and you just want more, you start working and you want more and more and more? Jesus knows what it feels like. He was tempted in every respect, yet without sin. And so whatever you're feeling, no one is excluded from the fact that whatever you're going through, every single temptation that life has to offer, that life throws at your way, every single one, Jesus Christ knows what you feel like. He knows the temptation. But furthermore, he was victorious over those temptations. And so my first encouragement to us this morning as we get together is, I know it's difficult. I know it's difficult, and you feel like you feel alone at times. And you feel like you are struggling, and you're falling, and you're not doing it, and you're not able to overcome, and you feel like your emotions get the better of you, and stress gets the better of you, and you feel all alone. Listen to me. You are not alone. Jesus Christ, our Savior, knows what you feel like. And when you draw near to him, he's the one that overcome, and he enables you to overcome just as he overcame. Doesn't that feel like a bit of a burden off your shoulders? Hey, I'm hoping that. I'm really hoping that it feels like that. So I wanna go through a scripture. This was just the intro, no jokes. Got about 50 minutes left, eh? Not really. But I want to work through a scripture with you. And I think without me sharing this, the scripture wouldn't make as much sense as it does. And I'm trusting that as we go through the scripture, it will really bring life into your heart. And it will really enable you to know what Jesus feels like when he looks at you, when he sees what you're going through, and that he wants you to overcome. He wants to walk with you to overcome. And in fact, teach you how to help others when they're going through a difficult time. So, Matthew 14, verse 13 to 14. I'm going to read it to you. Now when Jesus heard this, what is the this? He heard that John the Baptist, a good friend of his, in fact it was his cousin, had died. And now with the context that I shared, remember, when someone dies, what happens? What's natural for you to happen? You mourn. You become sad. And so Jesus, because he was fully human as well, he became sad and he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. Jesus wanted to mourn. Jesus wanted to be alone. That was the desire of Jesus at that moment. That was his will. I want to be alone. I want to mourn. I want to be with the Father. I want to pray. But when the crowds heard this, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw the great crowd, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. So this is profound. If you didn't catch what just happened there, Jesus not only understands what you go through, but he's actually able to reach into that and put his own emotions aside because he loves you. And that's what he did while he walked on earth. His natural inclination was to say, I want to be alone in this moment. But when he saw the crowd who went past a big water mass to follow him, when he saw them, he stopped what he was doing and he said, I'm going to care for the people. I have compassion on them. I want to heal their sick, and he healed all of their sick because they came to him. So I want to challenge you this morning. If you follow Jesus, if you're willing to go around the water to follow him, to come to him, he's not too busy for you. He's not too busy with all the other things in the world that your issue is too small to bring to him. That's not the Jesus that I know. It's not the Jesus of the Bible. It's not the Jesus that we read about here. The Jesus that we read about here says, I will stop everything that I'm doing, what I wanted to do in that moment, because of the crowd that followed me. I will have compassion on them. I will heal their sick. So are you walking around the water in a metaphorical sense? Like, are you following him? Are you saying, Jesus, I know that when I get to you, when I bring these things before you, you're not too busy with other things. I know that you will have compassion on me. You'll heal me. You will take this broken area within me and you will mend it into wholeness. So I was just, as I was preparing for this, I remember the day that I got saved. You know, sometimes before that, you know, sometimes we have this view of God that God has exalted. He's like, you grow up in Afrikaans household, you grow up like this. God is big. He's separate. He's good, yes, but you have to approach him with reverence and respect, which is true. It's not a lie. It's definitely the truth. But it almost feels like he's a far-off figure and not a personal figure. And I remember in that moment when I got saved, when I gave my life to Jesus, which was 12 years ago. It's a long time. Some of you think that's not a long time. It was 12 years ago when I gave my life to him. It felt like the world stood still. God stood still with everything he was doing in the world, and he zoomed into me for a moment. It felt like nothing else mattered, and God zoomed into me, and my life was completely changed. Listen to me, that doesn't stop the moment you get saved. God is bigger than that. God is universal, and God is personal. Your issues might feel small to you at times, or you might feel like you can't bring those things before God. God is big enough to handle the universe, keep the stars in balance, keep the sun shining, keep the moon brighting, whatever the moon does, the moon reflecting, keep the moon reflecting, sort out everything that's going in the world, know about wars, know about Donald Trump, know about Barack Obama, and know about you. Know about what's going on in your heart. That's how big our God is. And so walk around the water. Don't just sit still. Don't just stand on the other side and say, I won't go to Jesus now. He's busy with other things. It's not the God that we serve. Bring it. Walk around the water. Do the effort. Come to him. Seek him. Press into him. Press into spending time with him. Press in worship and bringing those things before God. Listen, I'm not asking us to be a selfish people to just think about our issues the whole time. But there is this side of God where he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and supplications, make your requests known to me. What is that? And he says, my burden is light and my yoke is easy. Therefore, don't carry these heavy burdens. Come before me so that I can carry it with you. That is the God that we serve. Yes, pray for other people. Yes, think about the mission field. Yes, think about all of those things. But yes, also come before God with your need. Come before him in your time of difficulty. Walk around the water and go to him. And this is the beautiful thing that he does. Matthew 14, verse 15 to 18, if we read on a bit. So now you see the disciples, if we put ourselves in their shoes, the disciples see what Jesus is doing here, right? And they must think, this is amazing. Jesus was busy doing something. He stops everything he's doing, and he has compassion on the people who came to him. And we want to stop there. The fact is, Jesus doesn't stop there. He says, cool, I've done it, now you do it. You do it for other people. Stop what you're doing for the sake of other people. Show them my mercy. Show them my compassion. Verse 15. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves. Verse 16. But Jesus said, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. They said to Jesus, we have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. With your friends, with the people around you who are going through difficult times, sometimes we feel like, but Jesus, I don't have anything to give. I'm struggling. I'm struggling here. What can I give? I've only got my fish. I've only got my little loaf of bread. But Jesus says, bring that to me. And Jesus, in fact, you know what? Jesus could have said, I'm going to feed them. It's fine. Don't worry. I'm going to feed them. But he doesn't do that. He says, you feed them. You look after the people who are going through a difficult time. You look after the people who are needy. It's our responsibility as the people of God, as the church of God, to look out for each other, to care for each other's needs. And you know what? As a church, to be honest, I think this is an area in which we are quite strong, pastorally. Like in many churches I know, you'd walk in, walk out, no one would greet you, no one would get to know you. I trust if you're a visitor here, that many people have come and bugged you already. That people have come to meet you, people have come to introduce themselves. And my hope is that people would actually invite you for coffee or invite you for a meal. That's the hope that we have. And I think as a church, that's something we push a lot. But we can't just compare ourselves to other churches. We have to compare ourselves to the Bible. And the Bible says, look after, keep on. And I think we've got more room for growth, much more room for growth, much more room for growth in how we look after each other, in how we care for each other's needs, in how we show compassion to each other as the body of Christ and as Josh Chen here in Stellenbosch. I think we've still got some room for growth. 2 weeks ago, Kala, who leads the church here, who's away with his father's passing, he preached an incredible message, and he preached about the three parables of things being lost. It was the lost sheep, 1 out of 100 sheep got lost, but God stops and he looks for the one. It progresses even further. It says there was the lost coin, 1 out of 10 got lost. God stops, he looks for the one because it's incomplete without the one. And then we read the parable right next to each other of the lost son, the prodigal son. And God says, when that son came to his senses and turned around, the father went and embraced him. God's heart is for the people on the fringes and not just to move forward. God wants us to advance a mission in Stellenbosch. I really believe it. This week, I've been sort of, I can't remember who I spoke to. I said, man, we need to reach more people for Jesus. We need to get into this place and see more people getting saved. And that is part of God's agenda. But he's bigger than just having one agenda. Part of his agenda as well is that we are cared for, that the one who is struggling, the 99 would stop, look after the one. That the 9 would stop, look after the 10. And that when that one comes to his senses and turns around, that we are there because the Father is there to embrace that person. And I believe that the message that Kala shared that week wasn't just the Sunday message. I believe it's something for us to shift in our hearts. Something for us to carry as a value as a church going forward. Not just a good message on a Sunday. I believe it's pivotal for us. Are we caring for people around us? Are we showing the love of Christ to the person sitting left to you, right from you, behind you, in front of you, at the back, in the front, on the left, on the right, wherever? Like, are you showing love to the people around you? Yes, Jesus will feed them. But he says, bring what you have. I'm gonna empower the little that you have to feed the masses and to show my compassion to the people around us. Let's close our eyes. Maybe you can, close our eyes. I'm going to end. The band can maybe, or just some of the band can come forward. So just as we end, actually for now you can keep your eyes open. Sorry about that. It's too dark in here. I don't want you to fall asleep. As we end this morning, I want to just stand still for a moment longer at the point where I said, God is not too busy for your difficulty. He's not too busy. No. But he does want you to walk around the water to come to him and to bring it to him. And he will stop everything that he's doing and he'll have compassion on you. He will. That's the God that we serve. Compassionate, loving, loving, loving God. And so I think this morning is actually, this is not a message that I think you should just take home and sort it out at home. I think this morning is a lot of you need to take that step forward, because I think it's something that you need to break over your life, where you feel like, I struggle to bring things before God. I'd rather sort it out on my own, or I'd rather sort it out with a friend. I can't bring it to God. You need to break that thing this morning and say, this morning I'm going to bring it to God. Not when I get home, this morning I'm going to do it. And so if you're sitting here and you are someone that struggles to do that, you struggle to process the things that you're going through in life with God, or maybe you start and you pull out and you just sort of sort it out on your own, I want you to respond this morning. And I'm going to ask, it's going to be a bold move, but I want you to come stand in front. I believe there will be a few people, so it won't be awkward. But if you can come, just stand up and come stand in the front. We're going to have a few people praying. One, two, three, if that's you. There we go. If it's difficult for you. I'm sure there's more. Okay, this group must double at least. I know there's some of you, sitting there thinking, "Oh, I don't want to do it." Come, it's fine. Just come stand in front if that's you. If you find it difficult at times to just bring your load before God and process it with God. Anyone else? There we go. It's a daunting thing, but that's how you're going to break it, is to say, well, this morning I'm doing it. This morning I'm bringing it before God. I'm not going to have people ask you what the issue is. Don't worry. It's not what I want to do. Is there anyone else? Just the last moment. Okay. So as God's people, can we have some people just coming to the front and pray with them? Everyone doesn't have to come. Just a few people. If you've got relationship with them, bring your fish and your loaves. We're going to pray for them. As they're coming forward, can I just ask that the rest of us, that we quickly close our eyes. Close your eyes. Shirnai.
Yeah, so I just like also had this picture earlier about, like, you know, a noose that's like in the hanging when you hang somebody, like they have this rope, it's called a noose, that you put around your neck. And I just like almost like had this idea, like some of us has been like almost like playing with this noose, which was like something God gave. So God gave like almost like hospitality. And yeah, like some of us has been like almost like playing with this noose, and it becomes like really dangerous if you put this noose like around your head and started to play with, because like, you can just like fall down and you could actually die because of that, what you're like playing with. So
yeah, so as you keep your eyes closed, I just want to make a last call for a response for us this morning. Just everyone, your eyes closed, please. You know what? Life for me, that noose is sometimes a picture of life. Many of us, we go on and we think, oh, life is fine. I don't know, someday in my life, I'll give my life to Jesus. I'll give over to him. I'll recommit to him. But for now, I won't do that. But for me, it is like that. It's like that picture. It's like you playing with the noose. You have no clue when it's going to end. You have no clue when your time will be up and you can't take that noose off anymore. And the fact of the matter is, we need to turn to Jesus. Otherwise, we won't be with him in eternity. And so just as you're sitting here, as all the eyes are closed, don't ignore them as they're praying in front. Let them pray. But I want to ask you this morning, do you know Jesus? Because he wants to show compassion on you this morning. If you've never given your life to him, or you need to recommit to him, you've fallen away, you're at a bad space with Jesus at the moment, and you want someone to pray with you, this morning is a good moment for you to say, God, I thank you for your compassion. I thank you for your love for me. I thank you that you care for me. I want to come back into your house. Or for the very first time, I want to give my life to you. I want to come into your house, Jesus Christ. So I'm going to pray for us. And can I ask that all of us just pray together as they're praying? I'm going to pray a prayer of us giving our lives over to Jesus. If you've prayed this before, it's fine. Then you just pray it again. But at the end, I want to ask, and I'm not going to let people look around, but ask who prayed it for the first time or who recommitted their lives. So just, you can pray out loud with me, okay? I know it's difficult with the noise in front. Jesus Christ, I thank you for your compassion. God, I thank you that this morning, there's a whole universe, but you stand still for me because you love me and you care for me. And God, this morning, I want to give my life to you. I want to recommit my life to you. God, I want to pray that you would forgive me of my sins. I pray that you would make me a new person. And God, I commit to live for you. I want to live for you. God, give me grace. Amen. Just as you just keep your eyes closed for a moment longer, is there anyone, it's just for me to see, is there anyone that prays?